Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. This way I don't have to tell you each individually later. And let's just open in a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for this day that you've given us. I thank you for your word, Father God, and I just pray right now that you would open it to our hearts and to our minds, Father God. Father, that you would give me the words to say, and Father God, that you would give us open hearts to receive what you have for us this morning. Father, I thank you for being our God, and I just pray that you would be here this morning with us as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start off with an apology to the men. I'm sorry. I'm going to be speaking mostly to the ladies this morning. But that doesn't mean that you can just check out on me and daydream about hockey or whatever. You have to stay with me because there's going to be homework at the end, and if you don't stay with me, you're not going to know how to do your homework. So just be there. I don't get to do this a lot, and normally when I do get to do this, I'm quite used to the fact that Ken will tell me well in advance. This time he told me a couple of months in advance of when I get to speak, and I'm used to God being silent on what I should speak about till very close to when I have to speak. I don't know if that's true for anybody else who gets up here, but lots of times God keeps me in suspense. This time, Ken told me, and he told me the date, and I think he even put in brackets there, highlighted it, that it was Mother's Day. And it was like God went, boom. I knew instantly. As soon as I read what Ken had wrote for me, I knew what I was supposed to speak. So I believe that the word this morning is for a lady or a group of ladies here this morning. God has this word for you. So if you look around the room, you'll notice the room is filled with people, and we have people of every different shape, size, even different skin colors, hair lengths. Some have glasses, some don't. All the different things. But there's one thing that we all share in common that I want to mention. And it's not visible right now. It's your belly button. And I'm glad it's not visible. And so is everybody else. But the fact that you have a belly button is undeniable proof, whether you want to admit it or not, that you had a mother, that you were born. So this morning I want to talk about mothers. And we're going to look at three specific mothers. We're going to look at the mother of all of us, the first mother. Then we're going to look at the mother of the mother of a nation. And then I want to actually look at you guys. So three different mothers. So if you have your Bible, take your Bible, and we're going to start at the beginning, of course. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 2. So if you haven't already caught on, the first mother we're going to talk about is Eve. So Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 15. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and care for it. But the Lord God gave him this warning: you may freely eat of any fruit in the garden except the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a companion who will help him. So the Lord God formed from the soil every kind of animal and bird. He brought them to Adam to see what he would call them, and Adam chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, birds, and wild animals. But still, there was no companion suitable for him. So the Lord God called Adam to fall in, caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. He took one of Adam's ribs and closed up the place from where he had taken it. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib and brought her to Adam. At last, Adam exclaimed, "This is part of my own flesh and bone. She will be called woman because she is taken out of a man." This explains why man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now, although Adam and his wife were both naked, neither of them felt any shame. So a couple of things to notice, and I'm reading from the NLT, and I want to show you a couple of things in the other versions as well. A couple of things to notice. God brought all the animals before Adam, and Adam looked at each one, and he chose a name for each one. And I from what I've learned, it wasn't just, oh, here's a large cat. Adam actually studied the cat, hung around, watched the cat for a while, and then chose the name. He's going to be a tiger, or he's going to be a leopard. So Adam actually did some little bit of study into each animal. It wasn't just merely a parade of animals that went by, that Adam actually put some thought into it. So Adam actually was looking. And the Bible says that he named all the animals and he could find no companion for himself. So, as the Bible says, he fell asleep and God created woman. And Adam was ecstatic. He was happy. He found a woman. Now, in my Bible, in the NLT, it says Adam was happy because he finally had a companion. Now, most of the other versions that I had on my shelf used the word helper. So the NIV, New King James, the Message is really spiritual. It uses both. It uses the word helper. And when we think of the word helper, we take it a little bit wrong in this context. Lots of times we think of helper and somehow we actually think of, if you're a guy and you're a tradesman, for instance, and say you're a carpenter and you're assigned a helper, you know exactly what that is. That's the guy to clean up after me. As the carpenter, that's the guy to go get the lumber and bring it in. He does all the rough grunt work, the stuff that the carpenter, number one, doesn't want to do, and number two is probably the foreman of the job doesn't want him doing it because he doesn't want to pay a carpenter's wages to have him just move lumber around. He wants him to actually build stuff. And that's kind of the vision that we get of a helper, and that vision is almost, it's lower. So your carpenter is the tradesman, he's the master of the craft, and then you have your helper. Now when we read scripture and you read the word helper, if that's the term that comes to your mind, it's not entirely accurate. If you look up the word helper in the Hebrew, and if you look at the root word, I'm not even going to attempt to say these terms because I am not a good Hebrew. I'm a good German. The root word for helper there is the same word that's used in other parts of Scripture. So if you go to Exodus chapter 18 and verse 4. Exodus 18 and verse 4. The name of his second son was, sure, for Moses had said at his birth, "The God of my fathers was my helper." Did you catch that? So God is actually called a helper there. That is the same root word that is used in Genesis. Okay? So God is definitely not, as we know, in an apprentice or as a helper to a journeyman. He's not that. Okay? So I wanted to make that clear. And another reason I mention that is when you read the Old Testament, when you read the Bible in general, as I was studying this, women don't get all the spotlight that they deserve, I think, sometimes. Women sometimes get a lesser. And it's really because of the society in which they lived. If you were a lady and you were a man's husband in Old Testament times or in biblical times, unlike today, you were basically considered a possession. You were much, much lower on the pole. So that's not what we have. That's not what we know today. But in the Old Testament, that's what we see. We're not gonna turn there. I'm just gonna assume that you guys have been through Sunday school and read your Bible and stuff. I want to talk about the mother of a nation. The mother of a nation was Sarah. And you read the story about Abraham and Sarah, and Sarah was a great woman of faith. She's actually the only woman that gets mentioned in Hebrews as part of the Hall of Faith, part of the mothers. But Sarah was always Abraham's wife. Not that that was a bad thing, but she was always just Abraham's wife. But she was an amazing mother, and she was, I believe, when you read the story and you look at all that she did, and when you study society back then, all that she would have done as part of her role, she was a big reason why Abraham was Abraham, why Abraham accomplished what Abraham accomplished in his time. I believe if Abraham were here today, he would gladly tell you that his life without Sarah would have looked very, very different. She did mess up. And she did make some mistakes. The one mistake that stood out to me was when she gave her servant girl to Abraham, because she knew she was getting old. She's like, "You're supposed to be the father of a nation, and I haven't given you any children yet." So she gave this servant girl to Abraham, and Abraham indeed slept with her, and they conceived the child. But that wasn't necessarily God's plan. But I also think and go, well, if I was Sarah and I was at that time in my life, and I'm 60 years old, I'd be strongly doubting whether or not I was going to have any children. Now you're 70 years old. Now I'm totally sure this ain't going to happen. 80 years old, it's over. Like, I don't really blame Sarah for going, "I'm going to have to help this along. I'm going to have to do something," right? She got impatient. But she also forgot, as we lots of times do, that God is a God of miracles, and God doesn't always follow our timelines. God follows his timelines. And so Sarah conceived, but she conceived when she was 90 years old, and Abraham was in excess of 100 years old. So take your Bibles and turn with me now. I want to look at one more section of Scripture, and that's Proverbs chapter 31. I did a little, very little. I was going to do more, and I never got to ask some of the people that I wanted to, specifically some ladies. But I asked some ladies, when they read Proverbs chapter 31, how do they feel? Do you get really excited and overjoyed and go, oh man, this is so good? Most of the ladies that I talked to went, no, not so much. I'm kind of glad there's not a Proverbs 31 for men. It would be rough. But they didn't get really excited about it. And they kind of look at the Proverbs 31 wife and they go, oh man, how am I ever going to measure up? How am I ever going to be that woman? And as most of you know, my daughter Rebecca went to Bible school this year for her first year. And one of the things that she came home and she told me on many, many occasions is she goes, context is everything. Context is everything. It's very important when you look at and read the Word of God. So I'm going to try to keep this in context, but I want us to... First of all, we're going to read Proverbs 31. So we're going to start at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is worth more than rubies. Her husband can trust her and she will greatly enrich his life. She will not hinder him, but help him all of her life. She finds wool and flax, busily spins it. She is like a merchant's ship. She brings her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes out to inspect the field and buys it with her earnings and plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. She watches for bargains. Her lights burn late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household because all of them have warm clothes. She quilts her own bedspreads. She dresses like royalty in gowns of the finest cloth. Her husband is well known, for he sits at the council meetings with the other civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell them to the merchants. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She laughs with no fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and kindness is the rule when she gives instruction. She carefully watches all that goes on in her household and does not have to bear the consequences of laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare praise. So I've read this many, many times in the last few months. And I prayed about it. And I was like, God, what do you want to say to the ladies this morning out of Proverbs 31? And it wasn't until the other day that God said, well, this is how you do it. He says, take Proverbs 31 and make it in 2025. So Proverbs 31 is written back in biblical times. So let's just go through it. Starting at verse 10, who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is worth more than precious rubies. Her husband can trust her and she will greatly enrich his life. She will not hinder him, but help him all of her life. So that's we understand that. That's perfectly fine now. Verse 13, She finds wool and flax, and she busily spins it. She's like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plans a day's work for her servant girls. She goes out to inspect the field, and she buys it with her earnings and plants a vineyard. How many of you ladies spin wool? Flax? No, we don't do that in 2025, right? That's not something that we do. But how many of you ladies will go downtown and buy clothes for your kids? I never seen a naked kid here, so you guys obviously do that. Okay? And then we find she gets up and prepares breakfast for her family. Is there any lady here that has never gotten up and prepared breakfast for her family? I didn't think so. She goes out to inspect the field and buys it with her earnings and plants a vineyard. Okay, maybe you didn't go out and buy a field, although some of you actually might. But there's lots of ladies here, and it's not uncommon at all for a lady to be a business owner, for a lady to own a business. It's not uncommon at all for a lady to make a profit in that business and do well in the business world. Let's keep going. Verse 17, she is energetic, strong, and a hard worker. That's 2025. She watches for bargains. Her lights burn late into the night. Are any of you ladies, what's the word, thrifty? Okay. Have any of you ladies worked late into the night? Have any of you put in extra hours? Have any of you not? That might be the easier question to find an answer for. There is not one. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. There again. She extends a helping hand to the poor, and she opens her arms to the needy. Are there any ladies here that have ever given any money to a charitable donation to help kids in Africa, to help kids in Haiti, to help the needy? Maybe the needy here at home. Maybe you've went to the mustard seed and served the meal in Edmonton. We've all done that. We've all done that. She has no fear of winter for her household because all of them have warm clothes. I've been coming here a long time, and some teenagers show up a little bit underdressed in January. And that's not their mother's fault. She quilts her own bedspreads. I know that there's lots of ladies that quilt. She dresses like royalty in gowns of the finest cloth. When I read that, I got thinking. If you look at most families, who is the best dresser? Typically, you're not going to say the guy. I worked in the fashion industry for a long time, and I know that especially guys in this country are not great dressers. But when the call comes for the family to dress up, who runs that show? It's the mom, it's the wife, and she knows how to dress. And she dresses very well herself, and she makes sure that her whole family is dressed well as well. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell them to the merchants. There again, that's your own business, lady. That's something that you're doing to help. Whether you have the business for fun or whether you actually have the business to make money. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She laughs with no fear of the future. That verse talked to me loud and clear about a strong Christian lady that's rooted in her faith, so that especially in today's world, that you can look in today's world and you can look at what's going on in the world, and she can look at it and she can literally laugh. She goes, yeah, that's the world. Yeah, it's falling apart. But I know who created it. I know who's running it. I know my God, and he's still in control. And she doesn't have anything to worry about. When she speaks, her words are wise, and kindness is the rule she gives her when she gives instruction. She carefully watches all that goes on in her household and does not have to bear the consequences of laziness. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. This is something that doesn't happen near often enough. Her children stand and bless her. That doesn't happen near enough coming from children. But if you ever took a child aside and put him in a corner and interrogated him and asked him about his mother, he would sing her praises 9 out of 10 times. The same going for husbands. I'm not real good at singing my wife's praises. I try. And if you ask me, I will sing like a bird. That's something that should totally happen. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all that she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. I've been coming here, how long have we been coming here? Long time. More than 10 years. And I know some of the ladies here. I don't know all of you, but I know some of you. And when I read Proverbs 31, I see you guys. You're in Proverbs 31. So I encourage you to read Proverbs 31 and don't look at it and go, I'm intimidated by it. Go look at it and go, yeah, I'm hitting the mark in a lot of places. Maybe I need to stretch and grow a little bit here, or stretch and grow a little bit there. But I'm hitting the mark in most places. I don't have to read this and feel bad because I'm not cutting it. I'm not making it. So, gentlemen, homework. Your homework was found in the last scripture, or the second last scripture. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. I want you to go home and praise your wife this afternoon. It'll buy you far more brownie points than flowers and chocolates and whatever else you brought for your wife. Those are all good. But actually vocally praise your wife. And go through Proverbs 31 with her. And encourage her and say, hey, listen, I can see you in this. I can see you in this. You are my Proverbs 31 wife. So I just want to challenge the guys this morning to do that. If you're a guy and you're not married, you have a belly button. That means you have a mother. Go find her. And bless her. So, let's just close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Father God, for your word. I thank you, Father, that you made woman. And Father God, I thank you that you did, because I believe, Father God, that completed man's image, his likeness to God. Father God, I just thank you that you're here this morning, and I pray, Father God, that the word this morning will reach the ears that needed to hear it, will reach the ladies that are struggling this morning, that are struggling with self-worth, are struggling with their image, Father God. I just pray that this word was for them, and it's intended for them, And it's your way of reaching out to them, to encourage them, to build them up. And Father God, when you look at them, you don't see a miserable failure. You see daughters, Father God. You see princesses. And Father God, I pray blessing on each wife, each mother, each grandmother, and each person that is here this morning, Father God. I just pray that you'd bless them today. I pray that you'd give them a great day. I pray that you would be with the husbands this afternoon as they do their homework. I just pray that you would give them the words to say that speak right to their wives' hearts. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have the music team come.